This is the Future of HR Podcast, episode 116.
I have a firm belief that every organization, every entity has a culture. Your family has a culture. Your schools have a culture. Businesses have a culture. And you can either define it with a vision or it will just simply evolve. And it may evolve to something you don't like. So much better to define it ahead of time and then drive to that culture. So it starts with purpose. It starts with why you exist. And so we did all of this work to really hone in on what our purpose is. And we came up with our purpose of inspiring well-being. We have spent the last 3 years really focused on that purpose. It is the lens through which we make all of our decisions.
How can your organization's purpose drive culture change? And transforming your culture, how can you honor the past while embracing the future? Hi, I'm your host, JP Elliott, and this is the Future of HR Podcast, the only podcast whose mission is to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. On each episode, I interview successful HR executives and thought leaders who are reimagining, rethinking, and leading our field into the future. During our candid conversations, you will learn about their career journeys, their lessons learned along the way, and their insights on how to take our field and, most importantly, your career to the next level. And if you're really serious about becoming a more business-focused and strategic HR leader, then you need to make attending my Next Gen HR Accelerator program part of your 2025 development plan. Next Gen HR Accelerator is the best leadership development program for HR directors and managers because it will build your business acumen and financial acumen. It will sharpen your strategic thinking skills and elevate your executive influence and communication skills. And it will teach you how to translate business strategy to HR initiatives that deliver impact and value. You also get a 360 feedback, personal coaching from me, and you leave with a from-to development plan to help take your impact to the next level. Our next cohort starts on January 21st, and you can register between now and December 20th. Space is limited, and we do expect to sell out. So go to nextgenhracelerator.com or futureofhr.com or reach out to me directly to learn more. I'd love to have you in the program. My guest this week is Stacy Hoying. Stacy is the Chief Human Resources Officer at Guardian Life Insurance Company of America, or more commonly referred to as Guardian. Stacy is responsible for building an inclusive and consumer-centric culture that supports Guardian's business goals and enables its colleagues to inspire well-being by providing customers with the financial security they deserve in life, health, and wealth. Prior to Guardian, Stacy served as the Chief Human Resources Officer at GE Capital, where she led an organizational and culture transformation as GE Capital evolved from a broad-based leasing and lending organization to a more focused financial services company serving the GE industrial businesses. In our conversation, Stacy's going to share insights into how Guardian, which is a 160-year-old company, used their purpose of inspiring well-being as a North Star to evolve and transform their culture and grow their business. Specifically during our conversation, Stacy and I are going to discuss how her willingness to bet on herself shaped her career, why Guardian defined their purpose as inspiring well-being and how it's driving their success, how Guardian invests in its customers and colleagues' mental health and well-being, how Guardian evolved their purpose, values, and leadership behaviors to honor their past while embracing their future, and why empathy and compassion is one of the core success factors for their colleagues' behavior, and much, much more. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Drop me a line on LinkedIn or say hello. And now let's jump into my conversation with Stacy. Stacy, welcome to the Future of HR Podcast. How are you?
I am great, JP. Thank you for hosting me.
Well, thank you for being on the podcast. I was lucky enough to hear your presentation at I4CP and was really impressed, not only with you, but your career journey and the really cool work you've been doing at Guardian. So excited to have you on the podcast today. And I wanted to start looking back at this. You've had this amazing 20 plus year career at GE Capital, and just you've had so many great experiences over that time. And I'm wondering if you could talk about What are two experiences that really helped shape you and impact you as a leader?
Yeah, I appreciate that, JP. I spent most of my career before joining Guardian Life, most of my career was at GE Capital and GE. I started as a lawyer, M&A transaction lawyer, and I am somebody who seeks change and I like to continue to be challenged. And I love doing the transaction work. But when that started to dry up, I realized that we had kind of acquired this significant employee population and we didn't really have an employment lawyer for GE Capital. And so I raised my hand and said, you know what, I would like to do that. And the general counsel said, well, you don't know how to do that. And I said, well, yeah, but I'm a lawyer and I'm smart and I'll get a really great mentor, which I think was the first time I had a really strong mentor, which became a really important part of my career journey throughout, the importance of having a mentor. I did take a step back. I moved into a lower level job. And for me, it was clear that's what I wanted to do. And so it was okay to take a step back. It was okay to have no bonus anymore because I knew eventually I was going to get there. And I think sometimes we're so focused on, I have to keep moving forward. We focus on that instead of focusing on what's the breadth of the experience you really want? What are you really passionate about? I really wanted to do this employment lawyer job. And so I did, and I loved it. Fast forward a number of years, I got a number of inquiries about taking an HR job at GE. And I sort of said no for a while, but then I was ready for something more. So I thought, well, let me go take an HR job. And if I don't like it, I can always go back to legal. And I took the first HR job. And I never looked back and I loved it. And since then, I've been able to move into broader and then bigger roles. It's been a great career journey so far.
Well, I love that you not only just said, raise your hand, said, I don't know how to do that, but I can figure it out. I'm smart. I'm going to bet on myself. And then you actually basically lost a bonus.
Yeah.
So you went from a role that was bonus eligible to one that's not bonus eligible.
Yeah.
Which is really putting your money where your mouth is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah. And I know not everybody is in a position to do that. And I didn't have three kids at the time, which is me and my husband. So I could take a risk. But I think it's important every once in a while in your career to do that.
Well, and I agree with you. And I think you were like, look, that's a short term. You're thinking long term. And a lot of us, where we make them, I think personally, where I've made mistakes in my career, and I think I've seen people make mistakes, is when I think short term or someone's thinking short term about like, well, how is this impacting me in the next 12 months versus where will I be in 5 years? Where do I want to be in 10 years? How will this propel my career? And that's exactly what happened to you. So that's so great.
Yeah. I'll actually share another story. When I was at GE Capital and I was the head of talent and we were a pretty big organization at that point. I think we had like 70,000 employees. And the CHRO came to me and was talking to me about a leadership role in our international division. I thought long and hard about it and I was ready to pack my bags. And it was a really exciting opportunity. But kind of at the last minute, I said, this is a great job, but what I really want is your job. I don't know if I took him off guard, but the reality is he had given me the confidence to have that conversation and the openness to have that conversation. And so I ended up not going overseas. And then within, I don't know, 6 months or something, I ended up succeeding him as the head of HR for GE Capital. And it was a great opportunity for me and got me to where I am today.
That's a great story. And kudos to your leader there to be comfortable enough to say, hey, I want your job, and him to say, okay, let's think about how you get there.
Yeah.
But also it's important that people are just realistic about their ambitions. And if you really want something, you need to tell people that. You need to be able to just own it and say, that's what I want.
Yeah. I think you need to have a vision for where you want to go. And it doesn't matter if between here and there, you take a left turn and you go somewhere else. But you need to have that vision. I also think it's important not to wear your ambition on your sleeves. You got to focus on the job you're doing and make sure you're doing a great job. And also have your eye on what are the things that you need to do to get to wherever you want to go.
That's a great point. I mean, this isn't trying to climb on top of somebody and over people and leave a bunch of dead bodies in your wake to get promoted. But having the ambition to say, yeah, I think I really would like to do that. Like, how do I get there? And that could be 2-3 years from now, right? It doesn't have to be tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
People, I think, appreciate that. They're like, oh, great. Let's figure out how to get you there. But Stacey, so after GE Capital, you had this amazing run. You know, you're very experienced. You're like, hey, look, I'm ready for something different. And you decided you're going to transition as a career into being an executive coach. In fact, you're like all on your way. And then you get a phone call from an executive recruiter that just put a pause on your plans. So tell us more about this phone call and your decision to join Guardian.
Yeah. I was all in on becoming an executive and a life coach. I even had a name for my company and I have business cards and the whole bit. And I get the call from the recruiter and I said, thanks for calling. Not interested in insurance. Doesn't sound all that interesting to me. You should call my friend. He's at a different insurance company. He'd be great at this job. And the recruiter was persistent, as good recruiters are, of course. And I had a conversation with the CEO of GE Capital at the time. And he said, look, just have the conversation. Like, no harm, no foul. Go have the conversation. So I did. And I talked to Andrew McMahon, who's Guardian's CEO. And I was really taken by his vision and his passion and his determination to bring Guardian into the future. I found it very inspirational. But more importantly, every single person I talked to on the leadership team was aligned and had the same story. So he wasn't out there on an island. He had the whole leadership team was focused and going in the same direction. And it was also really important to him that he had an HR partner who could help the business move into the future. Those were the two sort of big green flags for me that said, this is a great opportunity. Don't pass this up.
Yeah, that is so great to have that alignment with your CEO and that executive team around not only HR's role, but where the organization can go. And I think that's where we get all excited, right? When we're HR leaders to say, wow, we can help the business. We can revitalize the culture. We can, you know, really transform and just make more opportunity for all the team members, right? And our customers. That's awesome. So it's definitely a great decision.
It's really about having a vision for the future for the business and then understanding how the talent agenda weaves into that business vision and how that enables it.
And it sounds like you've had some good success. Let's talk more about that. So when you got there, people wanted to evolve the culture, want to re-energize the business, and you've had some pretty good results around that. Talk more about this process of how you're taking what I believe Guardian's 160-year-old company, which is an amazing heritage. How do you continue to evolve that into the future?
Yeah, listen, I mean, we could continue to do what we've been doing and we could be successful, or we can continue to evolve and change and we could be even more successful. I would take us back to 2021. That's when I joined Guardian. And of course, what's happening? COVID is raging. Millennials are rising. Technology is going crazy. And it was pretty clear, like, the world needed something different. Our customers needed something different. Our colleagues needed something different. And so for us, it was a moment in time to step back and say, with all of this stuff happening, how do we need to adjust? How do we need to move forward? How do we need to open up our aperture to figure out how we can solve what our customers need, how we can solve what our colleagues need? And so this brought us to these super existential questions, like, why do we even exist? What do we believe in? How should we show up for our colleagues and our customers? And that became the foundation and the basis for our cultural transformation. What we did was we engaged teams of colleagues to go out externally and also to talk to other colleagues and customers internally to figure out what was important, to figure out what our vision should be, to figure out why we did exist. I have a firm belief that every organization, every entity has a culture. Your family has a culture. Your schools have a culture. Businesses have a culture. And you can either define it with a vision or it will just simply evolve. And it may evolve to something you don't like. So much better to define it ahead of time and then drive to that culture. So it starts with purpose. It starts with why you exist. And so we did all of this work to really hone in on what our purpose is. And we came up with our purpose of inspiring well-being. We have spent the last 3 years really focused on that purpose. It is the lens through which we make all of our decisions.
Hey, everyone. After a quick break, we'll be right back to my conversation with Stacy. I'm excited to let you know that I've recently put together a succession planning playbook that you can download for free at futureofhr.com. And whether you want to assess your current approach to succession planning or you're building your leadership development strategy from scratch, this playbook offers an actionable framework designed to help you understand what great succession planning looks like. So go to futureofhr.com and download the succession planning playbook today.
Two things, I think, from HR leaders to ask some of these questions that seem maybe theoretical, maybe it's more, you know, philosophical, right? Like, what's our purpose? Why are we here? Some leaders are going to be like, hey, Stacy, come on. Like, we're here to make money. You know why you're here. But really, you guys leverage that to pivot that to the entire company, to the purpose, to what you're doing for your customers, how that means employee value proposition. And I think more HR leaders need to ask questions like that to go back to the fundamentals of like, hey, what are we really trying to do as an organization? It's not just about making money, right? I think that's not really what every organization is trying to do. They're trying to serve or add value.
I agree with that. And I think even more importantly, more CEOs need to ask that question. So it wasn't me that started this process. It was Andrew who started the questioning and our leadership team who started the questioning. And we were, as a whole entire team, completely involved in this whole process. This is not an HR initiative. This is not an HR project. This is the leadership team really owning it.
Yeah, and great point and clarification. And I think we always need more enlightened CEOs that are thinking this way. But if you're not, I think as you're alone with your CEO, you might say, hey, have we thought about this a little bit more
100%.
To guide them? But I agree, this has to come from a business perspective and the CEO or your founder, whoever is leading the company, has got to be asking these questions, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
Nothing changes with HR, hopefully, asking big questions. So we've got an influencing guide. But it's been incredible. And I think that Inspire Wellbeing is such a really cool purpose. You've talked about this as saying, look, the purpose is not just a poster on the wall. You've already said this is like why you exist and you're making decisions around it. But talk to us a little bit more about like, how does it operationally look day to day?
As I said, it is that lens through which we make decisions. And again, if I go back to 2021, 2022, COVID was still raging. One of the things that we realized, not just in the US, but across the world, is that we were in the midst of a mental health crisis. People were having lots of mental health challenges, as partly as a result of COVID. Suicide rates were on the rise. It was a really tough time for people, whether kids, teens, adults, everyone. And there was this real need for support that we recognized. If we're a company that inspires well-being, then that's a challenge that we need to try to figure out. Is there a way we can help support and provide solutions to our colleagues, to our customers? And so we partnered with a company called Spring Health. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they are a company that's removing barriers to mental health care. We partnered with them to provide a product for our customers, to provide a benefit for our colleagues. And we believe so much in them that we actually invested in them. And the stories that I hear, colleagues who come up to me and say, thank you so much for Spring Health. Here's what it means to me. Here's what it means to my family. Here's what it means to my child. They're just heartwarming. And so that's an example of where we're more than just a life insurance company. We're more than a dental insurance company. We're a company that's really trying to make sure we understand what the needs are and provide solutions for those needs.
That's a great story. And so cool you found, you know, a partner that you said, wow, this is such an amazing service that we want to take a piece of ownership and help you expand and build that platform and bring that to other companies and organizations.
If we believe in it enough to invest in it, it just shows you like it's sort of put your money where your mouth is, right?
Definitely. And I wonder for your team members now with this new purpose, how are they bringing it to life? Have you seen people think differently about supporting your customers and working together?
Yeah. So Andrew and I just finished a roundtable in our Pittsfield office, and we were talking about the same question, like, how is our purpose coming to life? And one of the leaders in that roundtable leads a claims unit. And she said it used to be that a customer would call in with their claim and we would ask them the questions, the social security number, the birth date, the whatever, and we would get the claim paid. Now the person calls in and there's a conversation. My daughter just graduated from college and here's what happened. And there's a pause and the conversation is more like, okay, that's great. Congratulations. Your daughter graduated from college. Now let's talk about X, Y, or Z, whatever it is. So there's this connection between our colleagues and our customers that is driven by compassion and empathy. And I would say it's less transactional and it's more of a connected conversation. We also partnered with a company called Empathy. So we think about when somebody calls in with a life insurance claim, it's like the worst time in their life, right? Somebody has passed away and they're calling in with a life insurance claim. And now we have this company called Empathy, which we've partnered with, who can, when we talk to the customer and they're in this terrible state of chaos, we can connect them with Empathy to help them write an obituary, to help them plan a funeral, to help them navigate all the things that happen when someone dies, besides just paying a life insurance claim. So again, it's providing this sort of holistic support for our customers.
What a great example, to your point, what a difficult time that is for somebody, and to get a very transactional experience.
Right.
Yeah, to not have that caring piece, or just say,
exactly, hey,
just be empathetic. So what a great name for that company. I love that.
Yeah.
But it's also, I was really impressed, and you shared a little bit more information around Guardian's values and success factors. I mean, you guys have a very well thought through purpose, mission. And I know a lot of times these are just plaques on the wall for companies, but they're so powerful when you have leadership teams and team members that want to bring this to life. And I'd love if you can talk a little more about your values and what you believe in success factors, which you talk about are how we succeed. How do these work together, and how do they bring your purpose to life?
Yes. We launched our purpose and recognized that it doesn't stop there. It's not just about your purpose, which is why you exist. It's also about what do you believe and how do you articulate that to both your colleagues and your customers? Most companies have values. Some companies live their values. Some companies have them as posters on the wall, and that's about it. So we had values at Guardian, and we recognized the importance of the history of Guardian. We also recognized that there were things missing from our values now that we had our purpose. So, for example, our values didn't talk about the customer. And that was a really important piece for our future. Our values didn't really talk about risk-taking and how we envision our future. And that was another important piece for us. Our values also include doing the right thing and including the phrase people count. And those are really so important to the culture of Guardian historically that we knew we weren't going to mess with that. That was going to be a really important piece of what we do. So we kind of revised our values with a nod to the past and a nod to the future. And the thing about Guardian, which I think is so unique, is that all of our colleagues can tell you what our values are. And they can tell you what our values are because we do live them, because we talk about them all the time, because we make decisions not just with the lens of our purpose, but also with the guidance of our values. That's our values. And then the next piece of that is really what are the behaviors that make the values come to life? What do we expect from leaders? And when I say leaders, I think of all of our colleagues as leaders. What are those behaviors? In a different moment, in a different time, in a different company, those behaviors might be different. For us, as we think about the company we want to be, as we think about our purpose and we think about our values, we came up with the behaviors that we expect, which we call success factors, because these are the factors that will make a leader, colleague successful in our culture. So they are all around accountability, leading with the customer at the center, collaborating, communicating transparently, and connecting with empathy and compassion. And that last one is one that maybe you don't always see in company behaviors or even company values. But for us, it was about being compassionate, empathetic to our customers and to our colleagues as well. I draw this distinction between empathy and compassion, empathy being a good listener and understanding what somebody is going through. Compassion is then doing something about it. So in my earlier example, it's listening to the person who just lost a loved one and then connecting them with empathy so that they can figure out what their path forward is. Those are our success factors. We launched those last year and we are working to embed them in all of our people processes and things like that. But the entire foundation of our culture, success factors, values, and purpose. That's it.
It's really clear. And in graphic design, I owned a graphic design firm many moons ago. And it's interesting, when you look at logos for companies, right? If you take away the words and just look at the logo, the question is, do you know what company that is? And so often, if you do that test, you will not know, and you can't tell what company it is because the logo is not distinct. And I think it's similar for values and mission and purpose statements for companies. That if you show me your mission and values and purpose statements, do I know it's you? And I can tell from Guardian, it's very clear it's Guardians. I think that compassion, empathy, you know, really is different. Of course, accountability might be on a lot of people's list, but that is really the secret sauce to, I think, making a neat culture that is unique and really can drive change and really be differentiated for customers and for team members.
It's definitely a differentiator for us. And I know people say this all the time, that what thing they like about the work they do or the place they work is the people and the culture. Maybe they don't say that all the time. Maybe there's some companies where they don't say that, but it really is true at Guardian. People really appreciate the culture at Guardian.
Let's talk more about that, because the culture is always hard right now. There's a lot of HR leaders that might be listening and they're like, Stacey, well, how do you balance honoring the organization's long and proud history while pushing for these changes to get them into the future? Like, what advice do you have for people who are maybe experiencing that or thinking through that culture change?
Look, Guardian's 163 years old, and we have a lot of colleagues who have worked for Guardian for a very long time. You always have to honor and respect the past. It does you no good to criticize the past. You always have to honor and respect it. And of course, you never want to get to a place where you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And you also have to take the time to understand how you got to where you are, what worked well to get you where you are, because something's going right, right? Something's happened to get you where you are. And then at the same time, you understand whatever happened to get you where you are is probably not what's going to help you get to where you want to go. And so you have to try to identify what are the different things you need to do in your culture to get you to the future while still honoring the past. And I think that's a really important piece. The other thing is you have to bring your colleagues and your customers along in the journey. So for us, as we were defining our purpose, as we were defining our values, as we were defining our success factors, we've reached out to colleagues across the entire organization at all different levels with all different tenure to make sure they were part of the conversation. This was not the leadership team in a room with a whiteboard coming up with a plan. This was very much bottoms up approach to try to define our future. I think those are the two really important pieces. Honor the past and bring your colleagues along on the journey.
Great, great answers and super helpful. And thinking too about just bringing people along, where would you start on the journey if you were giving advice to someone saying, hey, I think we need to get moving on this? Is it get that leadership team involved? How do you get this sort of bottoms up culture moving? It can be daunting.
Yeah, it can be daunting. I think you have to have your business vision. You have to understand just at a high level, what is it you're trying to accomplish? And then you start with your purpose. That's your North Star. If you don't know your purpose, nothing else is going to fall into place. So you have to start with your purpose. It is your North Star, and your purpose has to align to your business vision. I think it's talking about purpose with colleagues. It's making clear to them what you're trying to accomplish and why. And I think the why is really, really important, because you don't want people to feel like, oh, this is another, HR initiative or one more thing that the leadership team has decided to do that's going to go in a box and on a shelf. So you have to make sure people understand why this is important, why this work is so important. And then you engage the people who are really passionate about it, who are really excited about it. In some ways, your attractors and your neutrals, probably. I found once you started getting people involved, they got excited about it. You also gave them exposure to the leadership team. We gave them exposure to the board of directors, right? They were doing really important work that resulted in the purpose of the company. It starts with purpose, and then you really generate that excitement among the colleagues to be involved in it.
That's great. And I think what's so cool about your study and this case study a little bit around Guardian, you sharing all these experiences, is that you started your purpose, you got clear on your values, your success factors, and that's led to acquisitions, new offerings for your customers. It's just incredible to see that come through.
Yeah.
And that's got to be really rewarding for the executive team, but your team members to say, hey, like, we are really walking the talk at Guardian, which is awesome.
I think that's right, JP. I think it is incredible to see. And also, you can't stop. It's not like we're going to wash our hands and be like, okay, we're done with culture now. Culture is constantly evolving and our business is constantly evolving. So we think about where we want to be in the future. When we did this in 2021, maybe 2025 seemed like the future. But now 2025 is next year, and we got to think about where do we want to be in 2028 or 2029 or 2030? And what is the culture we need to get there? And what are the tweaks and the things we need to do to shift to make sure we're positioning ourselves for where we're going next? It's an iterative process and it is constantly evolving. I don't think our purpose changes, but I think our culture starts to continue to move. And as we think about now, what are we faced with? Millennials are moving into leadership positions and Gen Z is coming into the workforce. So how does our culture need to shift because of the Gen Zers coming in, or AI is going, creating all kinds of new shifts in how we work? So how does our culture need to shift because of that? It's work that we constantly will be doing.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think as we started out talking about, you cannot not have a culture. You need to be intentional about it.
Exactly.
That's going to continue to evolve to your point that, you know, it is something that just continues to live and breathe every day. You're either moving forward or moving backwards. And it sounds like you guys are moving forward, which is great.
Yeah.
Stacey, last question for you. What is one word or phrase that you believe will define the future of HR over the next 5 to 10 years?
That's a tough one. One word. I can think of lots and lots of different words, but I think I would say influence is my word. How I think about that is the world around us, as we've just talked about, is changing dramatically. It's getting more and more complex from a technology perspective, from a global perspective, from a workforce perspective. And HR has the opportunity to not just keep pace with all of these changes, but to get ahead of them by influencing the enterprise that you serve to ensure the organization structures, the talent capability, and most importantly, the culture are ready for the changes that are inevitable. So is our organization designed to deliver the products of the future in the new ways that they're going to be delivered? Do we have the talent that we need 5 years from now when everything is automated and enabled by AI? Does our culture support our future? We have the opportunity to influence the decisions that are being made every day to make sure our business is ready for the future. So influence is my word.
I love that. HR influence, so important. Stacey, thank you for being on the podcast and sharing the incredible purpose of Guardian and really how you've transformed the culture and the company over the last few years. It's an incredible story.
JP, it's my pleasure. Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Future of HR Podcast. Thanks again to Stacey for inspiring us to use our company's purpose as a North Star for evolving and transforming our cultures. As always, you can go to futureofhr.com to view all of our past episodes and learn more about our mission to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. And if you enjoyed this episode of Future of HR, be sure to subscribe or share our podcast with at least one other person. This really helps us to grow the podcast and helps with our mission of inspiring the next generation of HR leaders. We'll be back next week with Corey Keyes, author of the book Languishing, How to Feel Alive Again in a World That Wears Us Down. And with well-being and mental health being so important and an issue not just for HR, but for society overall, I can tell you that no one understands this better than Corey. This is an insightful and thought-provoking episode and one you will not want to miss. Thanks again for listening to the Future of HR and being part of our community.